Returning again in God's Word to Psalm 127, I want to refer to both these passages we read together, so maybe it would be good to put a marker in Ephesians 6 as well. First of all, coming to Psalm 127. Let's just ask for God's help now as we come to the preaching of His Word. The Lord would give us grace and give us understanding and even the enlightenment of the Spirit as we come to consider His truth today. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that we're found in Thy presence. We're found, Lord, before the open Word of the living God. And yet, O God, as we come to Thee, and as we come to Thy Word, we're praying, O God, Thou would speak. Above the voice of man, may the voice of God be heard. Lord, we pray that Thou would speak in a gracious way. And yet, O God, in a powerful way. We're praying, Lord, that we would come to feel the weight of truth upon our souls today. We thank You, Lord, for Thy Word, that it is a lamp unto our feet, and the light unto our paths. And we rejoice, O God, it is our guide and is that which will lead us into all truth. We pray, O God, Thou wouldst lead us today into the truth of Thy Word. And Lord, Thou wouldst just speak to each one. Lord, even as we preach Your Word today, that Lord, Thou wouldst fit Your truth to every spiritual need. We recognize, O God, in a congregation such as this, there are many different spiritual needs, many different issues. But Lord, Thou art able to take Your own Word and fit it to every heart. We pray, O God, Thou wouldst do it this day. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the wonderful things about the Word of God is that it covers every area of life. As God speaks to us in His truth, no part of human life is ignored. No part of human existence is left out. We are taught of marriage and how husbands should treat their wives, and also how wives should treat their husbands. God instructs us how we should have, or how we should behave in the workplace, how we should behave as employers, and also as employees. Again, we learn in the Bible how we are to live as citizens within a nation, and how we should be subject to the powers that be. And of course, the Word of God says much in regard to worship and how we should behave within the church, how we should behave as we come to God's house. The Word of God has much to say on this subject. When it comes to children and the role of parents, what we discover as we search the Scriptures is God again has much to say in regard to this aspect of our lives. And He has revealed in His Word much in regard to how children are to treat their children, how parents are to treat their children, and how children are to respond to their parents, how children are to obey them. And so God in His Word instructs and teaches us in regard to every area of life. Quite literally, God leaves nothing for man to work out by himself. We don't have to grope around in the dark and try and work out how we should live and what we should do in regard to different areas in our lives. No, God in love has given to us a complete manual for life. He has given to us in His Word a book that comprehensively teaches us how we can be saved, how we can come to know His great salvation, and also how we can live in this world a life of blessing and happiness. And this is why God has spoken to us. This is why God has given to us the treasure of His Word. It is so we will come to know Him, and in knowing Him, know salvation. And then also, so we will come to know how we are to live a life for His glory and a life for His honor in this world. How will we live a blessed and a happy life? This is why we have the Scriptures of truth. God hasn't left us in our natural sinful ignorance, but He's given us His blessed Word, the light of truth. And that Word covers every single area and every single department of life. Where there is a rejection of what God has said and revealed in His Word, when people despise and disregard God's truth, then confusion and mayhem follows. And this is why we see chaos and turmoil at every level in our society. Because there has been a rejection of God's Word. Men believe they know more than God. Men believe they are more intelligent than their Creator. And they think they can live as they please and do as they want, and there will not be consequences. But when we depart from God's truth, when we depart from God's Word, then it always results in mayhem and chaos. It brings heartache. How important it is then, we not only carefully hear what God says to us in His Word, but we also give careful heed to these things These things God has revealed to us for happiness and blessing. Now today, as we're gathered in God's house, I want us to consider something of what God says about children and the responsibility we have towards children, the children God has given to us. David and Adele are today bringing little Thomas to be dedicated, and that's a good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks unto God for the little ones he has blessed us with. And it is also a good thing to publicly acknowledge, to acknowledge in the assembly of God's people that we desire for our children God's blessing in our lives. This is something that we should publicly acknowledge, and it's good to do that. We desire God's blessing to rest upon our children. And so this afternoon, I want us to consider what God says in his word about children, and to think especially of the reward and the responsibility of children. The reward and responsibility of children. The first thing I want us to note here from God's word is the blessing of children. In Psalm 127, the psalm we've read together, we see very clearly the blessing of children. Notice what it says in verse 3 here in this psalm. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. In these words, it is made abundantly clear that children, the children that we have, are ours, because God has given them to us. They are an heritage of the Lord, and they are his reward. And so the reason why we have children is because God has given to us children. He has given to us the little ones that we have. That's why we have them. Therefore, we can say of children, they are, in a very real sense, a blessing from God. And this is how we ought to look upon our children, as a great blessing given to us by God. Very often in our sinful world, children are looked upon as more of a burden than a blessing. People put their careers, and they put their commodities, and they put their comforts before their children. And the attitude of this world is, how can I fit my career? And how can I fit my comforts and the things that I have in life? How can I fit these things around my children? And this is the atmosphere that pervades in our society as we think about children. How can we fit our lives around them and our careers around them? But you know, this ought not to be the case with God's people. It ought not to be the case with God's people. The children which God has given to us are a great blessing from God. And so, the most important thing in the life of any Christian parent ought to be their children. The spiritual well-being of those children. As parents, we should be willing to sacrifice everything, everything, for the spiritual well-being of the children God has blessed us with. We should be willing to give up everything for their spiritual well-being. What is a career? You think about it, parents, today. What is a career? What is a good job? What is the comforts and commodities of this life? The luxuries, the money, the wealth, and all of the prestige you could have in this world. What is these things? What are these things? If our children are lost, if our children are lost for all eternity in hell, what are these things? We must not live for the empty, vain, temporal things of this world. Instead of living to seek to bring our children up in the fear of God. And of course, we could also apply this to our own lives today. Maybe you're not saved today. Maybe you're not a Christian. And you're found in God's house, and your life is consumed with just the things of time, your career, your comfort, your commodities, these things, these temporal things of life, and you live for these things. These are the things you think about. You want more of them. You treasure them. You love them. But what are they all if you're lost for all eternity in God's hell? Do you know what they will be in hell? They will be the very things that will plague and torture you for all eternity. That's what they will do. I'm thinking of children, and how children are a blessing from God. We can say they're a blessing from God for a number of reasons. Children are a blessing from God because they remind us of God's glory. They remind us of God's glory. How often have you heard it being said of a newborn baby, oh, he's just a wee miracle. Or she's just a wee miracle. And this is often what people say as they're faced with a little baby. They look into the crib or the basket and they look at the little one and they say, just a wee miracle. And they dote over a little child in that sense. And often that is the case. But you know, that's actually a very true statement. For the Bible tells us that children are a miracle. In Psalm 139, this is what it says of children in the womb. It says, they are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. The word marvelous could also be translated miraculous. Fearfully and wonderfully made, miraculous are thy works. And this is speaking about the child in the womb. And what the psalmist is saying, that little one that is formed in the womb is a miracle. It's God's miraculous work. Every little baby that is born is a miracle, a living miracle that testifies of the glory and power of God. It is God who forms the little infant in the womb. It's God who creates it. It is God who brings it into existence. Every child is a miracle from God, for they are miraculously or marvelously made. As well as thinking about how children are miraculously made by God, we can also say that children point to God's glory because man is made in the image of God. That doesn't mean that man physically looks like God. It doesn't mean that we have got the features of God in the physical sense. Instead, it speaks of how man is different than the other animals in God's creation. And that's what it means. Man is made different, unique. Made like unto God, not like the other animals in God's creation. Man made in the image of God means that man is made a moral being. He's got standards. He's got principles. And even those that reject the very thought that there is a God, those that are boastful atheists, these people have got standards and they have principles. And they may say it's humanity or something else like that, but they've got principles. Why? Because they've been made in the image of God. Man made in the image of God is also an intelligent being. He can think. He can process information. He can logically think. Why can we do this? Why can we do this? And animals cannot do this. Because we've been made in the image of God. Again, man made in the image of God has got the capacity to worship. The capacity to love. These attributes are attributes that belong to man. Because he's been made in the image of God. You see, in the life of every little one born into this world, we see the almighty hand of God. We see something of his power. This is what God has miraculously done. And we see something of his perfection. This child bears something of the image and character of God. And so children, they're a blessing from God because they remind us of God's glory. They're also a blessing from God because they remind us of God's grace. God's grace. Every blessing that we receive from God is a reminder to us that God is gracious. As sinners, we deserve nothing from God. And we must acknowledge that today. What do we deserve from God as sinners? As those that have sinned against him and rebelled and broke his laws and lived disobedient lives. Do you know what we deserve? We deserve to be punished and judged. But God is gracious. Therefore, as we think of children and the great blessing of having children, of children either being born into our homes or even adopted into our families, it does remind us that God is gracious. And he graciously and lovingly has given to us a heritage and a reward. And you think of these words in verse 3 here. It speaks about children being a reward. And a reward is something that is a pleasant thing. It's a good thing. We give a reward to people as a token of what they have done. But God hasn't given us the reward of children because of what we have done. He's given us the reward of children because he is gracious and he's merciful. The joy and happiness that children bring into a home and family is a tremendous gift from God. And this is always how we ought to look upon children. The joy and happiness they bring into your home is God bestowing upon you a good thing, something that is blessed. Sadly, so often we take family life for granted. And we do. We fail to grasp the joy and happiness which our children, grandchildren, and even nephews and nieces bring as something God has given to us. But God has created family. God has brought family into existence for our happiness. Think of the first family that was created. God made Adam, and then God said it was not good for Adam to be alone. And he created Eve. Why? For man's happiness. And he said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And it was for their happiness, for their blessing. And so therefore families remind us of God's grace. God gives families to us for our own happiness. Think of the next psalm here, Psalm 128. Notice what it says in verses 2 and 3 in this psalm. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. And then it says this, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. The Lord is speaking about his people here. He said, happy shalt thou be. And then after he says, happy shalt thou be, he brings before us the family scene. And that's what he does. He brings before us the family scene. And so God has given to us family, that we might be happy, that we might live with comforts in life, even in a world that is cursed by sin. And you see, this is the grace of God towards us. What do we deserve from God? His judgment, his wrath, eternal hell. But God has given us family. And that's a token of his love, his grace. Can you see that today? The family that you have, the wife that you have, the husband that you have, the children that you have, your parents, your nephews, your nieces, your grandchildren. God is showing you love here. Even in life. Even in a world of sin. So we see children are a blessing from God because they remind us of God's glory. They also remind us of God's grace. Thirdly, we can say children are a blessing from God because they remind us of God's goodness. As God gives children to his believing people, he at the same time is giving children to the church. For the church to continue in an area, there is the need for children and there is the need for young people. This is something we see all too clearly in these days. We need children. We need the Lord to give us children. As congregations get older, and as the saints of God are one by one being called home to glory, we need another generation. We need children and young people to come along and stand for God. Therefore, as God gives to us believing parents, or gives to believing parents' children, is a token of his goodness. The Lord bringing along another generation that his work and testimony might be preserved alive. As a congregation, this is always how we ought to view the children God has blessed us with. As a manifestation of God's goodness towards us. Little Thomas. Little Thomas McElroy is a manifestation of God's goodness. That's what he is to this fellowship. He's the heritage of the Lord. And that's what it says here in Scripture. This then should impact how we treat the children of this church. This must impact how we treat them. These children are an evident token of God's goodness. God has been good to us. Therefore, we need to treasure them, and value them, and nourish them, and care for them. Children then are a great blessing from God. A blessing we should rejoice in. And a blessing we should continually give thanks to God for. And so we see here the blessing of children. But then I also want us to notice today the bringing up of children. And I want us to turn to the New Testament now, to these verses we read in Ephesians chapter 6. I've only got 2 points today. And so we have just come now to our final point. The bringing up of children. And in Ephesians 6 and in the verse 4, we're given very clear instructions how we are to bring up our children. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Ephesians 6 verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here we are told how we are to bring up children. We are to bring them up in the nurture an admonition of the Lord. This is our responsibility as parents in bringing up our children. And God is really saying to us in these words, I have given you children. I have placed them into your care. Now this is how you are to care for them. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As parents, this is the greatest and most daunting task that we will ever face in life. This is the greatest and most daunting task that we will ever face in life. Bringing up our children. Nurturing them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. There are many different aspects and challenges that parents face in seeking to bring up children. And bringing up children in this increasingly wicked world is no easy task. We live in a world of sin and wickedness. And a world that is trying to entice our children away. And a devil is continually trying to attack the home. And this is what he's continually seeking to do. And yet we've been given this responsibility of bringing up children to the glory of God. Bringing up children to honor him. There's something then that requires great wisdom. And this is why we need to carefully hear what God says in his word. Oh, this is the greatest task that we're faced with as parents. Therefore, we need to come to God's word humbly and earnestly and with a teachable heart. Say, Lord, how can I do this? How will I be enabled to do this? And God gives us clear instructions. To nurture children and admonish them in the Lord. Three things are absolutely essential. Three things are absolutely essential. And I want to note these three things very carefully. For we cannot train up a child in the way they should go. If we do not carefully adhere to these things. These three things are absolutely essential. We are to bring up our children in the ways of God. If we are to nurture and admonish our children in the Lord, there firstly needs to be a godly example. There needs to be a godly example. Notice how verse 4 commences here in Ephesians 6. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Provoke not your children to wrath. But let us just note here, before we think of what is actually said in these words, the emphasis on the father figure. The emphasis on the father figure. The spiritual well-being of children and the spiritual well-being of the home is primarily the responsibility of the father. And that is something we see right throughout all of Scripture. Now, I know the role of fathers and the role of men is attacked in our generation and grievously attacked. But the reason why it is attacked is because Satan wants weak fathers and he wants weak men. He doesn't want spiritual leaders in the home. He doesn't want men that will teach and train their children. Therefore, we must be very careful as men. And let me speak to the men. It is not your job to leave the spiritual well-being of your children to your wife. It is your job. You must have an active interest and be involved with your children so carefully at every stage. And your children ought to know this, that you have an interest in their spiritual well-being. And not just say, well, that's for the wife to sort out. That's a disgrace. That's a disgrace. You've been negligent in your God-given duty and responsibility. God has made you the leader of your home. You cannot just dismiss it as a light thing. The role of the father here is very much in view, and it is a most solemn role. As then the head of the home, the father is to give spiritual leadership. Spiritual leadership. And that is really the thought here in these words. These opening words in verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. God says to fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. But instead, you are to be a godly example, provoking your children into godliness. As it speaks here about provoking your children to wrath, it's not speaking about teasing your children. That's not what it's speaking about. It's not just speaking about, well, you shouldn't annoy your children and tease them and cause them to suffer. Of course you shouldn't. But as it speaks about not provoking your children to wrath, it is saying you shouldn't provoke them or you shouldn't encourage them to do sinful things. That's really a thought here. Think of Think of a farmer with an animal, and he's trying to drive an animal a certain way, and he gets a stick and he prods it. And he's trying to provoke that animal to do something. Well, as fathers, we are never to prod our children in a way that is not holy. We are to encourage them to live in a holy and godly way. And of course, this is speaking about setting out an example, because remember, we're speaking about leadership here. As fathers, we are to lead our children, provoking them by our conduct and by how we live in a way that is godly and a way that is holy and righteous, provoking them to be godly, encouraging them. This is the way you ought to live. Follow me. That's what we should be saying to our children, fathers. And of course, we could broaden this out as well to mothers and to grandparents and to other family members. We're to live before the next generation of life, which is a godly example, continually provoking them to do what is right. Children in the home, the Christian home, should clearly see that daddy and mommy believe in prayer. Oh, they should see that from the very earliest age. In fact, children should never not understand this, because as soon as they come to understanding, they should observe praying parents. And they should see clearly, mommy and daddy believe in prayer. That's provoking them to do godly, to be godly. Children also should see that daddy and mommy have the greatest respect for God's word. They have a respect for God's truth. They should see this. Children should see Christ in their parents in every area of family life. They should see these things. And you know, children, they spot hypocrisy a mile off. They spot it a mile off. They can tell if you don't believe in prayer by your absence in the prayer meeting. They can tell if you don't believe the scriptures because of your dismissal of it and how you live. We are to be a godly example. We are to nurture our children in the things of God. Let me just say, everything else that you do for your children spiritually will be irrelevant. This isn't in place. If you're not a godly example in your home, everything else that you do for your children will be utterly irrelevant. As we think of these three things here, I have them in order of importance. And the most important thing that you can do for your children is to be a godly example. Then notice also here, not only is there to be a godly example if we are to bring up our children in the things of God, there's also to be a godly education. The word nurture in verse 4 literally means to train. Means to train. Now in life, parents teach and train their children many things. From the moment a little one is born, they're being trained by their parents. They're being trained to sleep at the right time. And of course, that's always the first challenge, to train the children to sleep at the right time, to go to bed at night and not at the daytime. And then there's the training of them to feed and training them to walk and to talk and eventually to read and to write. And a parent is in the business of training a little one, that little one might grow up and be independent. And that's the work of parenthood. God gives us these children. We train them right up to the stage where they are now independent and able to live without our help and without our means. But what we must continually and with all diligence teach our children is the truth of God and of His salvation. This is what we must ensure that we teach our children, the truth of God and His salvation, the truth of Christ, and the truth of their need of Christ. This is what we need to continually teach our children. The Lord emphasized the importance of this to the children of Israel. After He gave to them His laws and commandments, He said to them in Deuteronomy 11 and 19, "And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." There is the thought here of continually teaching and using every situation in life to speak of the things of God to the children. You see, this is how we are to live. This is how the home is to be run. Every opportunity is to be taken to teach children the things of God. This is how even we are to behave with our grandchildren. Let's just think about this on a practical level. As we leave the house of God as families and we get into our cars and go home, do you know what you should be doing? You should be talking to your children about the sermon. Or about something about what happened in God's house and applying it to them in a simplistic way. Emphasizing the importance of the word. Maybe you should come to the Lord's table. And let me say, as parents, you are to bring your children to the Lord's table, because here we see what Christ has done for us, his provision he's made for our salvation. Speak to them about it. Talk to them of these things. Christ used the ordinary everyday things of life to teach people. And so ought we with our children. To use every situation and everything that comes into family life to speak to our children about the things of God. Maybe your children are facing difficulties, exam problems, issues at school, issues with friends. What an opportunity when the problem comes along just to stop with your children and say, let's pray about it. Let's bring it to the Lord. Or let's think about a similar issue that was found in God's word. I think of my granddad. He was a very godly man. And I remember him telling me on one occasion that when he was a boy on the farm, his mum was very ill. And his father was very worried. They were very concerned about this. And they went out into the byre one morning before they started to milk the cows. They were milking them by hand. His father said, Robert, we need to pray for mummy. And the two of them knelt down in the barn. And they prayed. And you know, when I think of that, humanly speaking, it's no surprise that my granddad turned out the man he was. He was trained, educated to be a godly man. There in the home, the problem came along, and they brought the problem collectively to God in prayer. Of course, as we think about a godly education, let me emphasize the importance of family worship. Family worship. And again, fathers, this is your responsibility to ensure in your home that there is family worship. Sabbath school is important, but we'll consider it just briefly in a moment. But you know, Sabbath school, the things that take place in the church for children, that is only to support what is already to be taking place in the home. It's not the church's primary responsibility to teach children, it's the parents. It's the parents. So there is to be a godly education, a godly example, and then there is to be a godly environment. The word admonish in this verse 4, means calling attention to. Calling attention to. And this is what we do as we bring our children under the means of grace. So we bring them to the house of God. We admonish them in the Lord, or we call attention to the Lord. That's what we do as we bring our children to the house of God. That's why it's so important. That's why it's imperative that you bring your children to the house of God. Because you're calling attention to the Lord. We're coming as a family to worship the Lord. He is our God. We worship him. We come and we show him the greatest respect. We reverence him. Because he is the Lord of heaven. He is the bestower of every blessing. And he's the hope of our salvation. That's what we do as we bring our children to the house of God. We call attention to the Lord. And how we need him. God makes his presence known in a special way where his people meet. He does. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He makes his presence known in a special way. And we should never deprive our children of this. God is here by his spirit. We should never deprive our children of this. This is why I personally believe that children's church is not the right way to go. Because as the church meets, Christ meets with them. We should never take our children away from this. Of course, the church has a responsibility towards the children God gives. When I say the church, I'm talking about the believers within the church. We have a responsibility towards the children God gives. It's God's people. Within this fellowship, we have a responsibility before God to pray for the children in our fellowship, and to pray for the parents, and also to encourage them by example and by word, to pray for them and to encourage them. And you know something? That is why we need to be in the house of God. You're an older saint, a mature saint. And if you're absent from the house of God and children turn up and see you're absent, you've been a bad example. A bad example. Remember the words of Christ in Mark 9:42. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me. Who shall offend one of these little ones? And it means to hinder them. Who shall hinder one of these little ones that believe in me? It is better for him that a milestone or a millstone was hanged about his neck. He was cast into the sea. See how solemn. Maybe you think today, you know, I've been very strong in what I say. Not half as strong as Christ. Not half as strong as Christ. Because he says, whoever offends causes to hinder a little one that believes in me, it'd be better that a millstone was put around their neck and dry. In other words, taken out of the way. So they don't hinder the wee one any longer. This is how serious this is. Christian, these things are important. So important. In actual fact, to willfully disregard these spiritual things, spiritual child abuse. Spiritual child abuse. And that is the most horrific thing. We must encourage our children. We have a responsibility to be godly, to educate them, and to bring them into an environment that is godly. What a challenge, what a task it is to bring up children, to nurture and admonish them in the Lord. The truth is, we cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot. We cannot do this without the help of God. Maybe you're thinking today, well, you know, this is such a high bar. It is. It is. Therefore, we need the help of God. Could David have defeated Goliath without the help of God? Could Daniel have survived in the lion's den without the help of God? Could Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have remained unharmed in the fiery furnace without God's help? Could Moses have led Israel through the Red Sea without God's help? We would all say emphatically to these things, no. In every case, the help of God was the all-important thing. The help of God. So it is, as we seek to bring up our children, in a wicked and a sinful world, we desperately need the help of God. Therefore, as Christian parents, there is a need to get before God. And in the light of His truth and what God says, there is the need to ask God for help. That God would anoint you by His Spirit and give to you enabling wisdom, grace, patience, and love. That we might all be the parents that we need to be. That we might be the congregation that we need to be in light of the children God has given to us. That we all will be part of this great work of bringing up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I trust God will bless His truth to our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen.